Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We're standing in awe of God, but He also stands in awe of us. That's an amazing thought. But, you know, it makes sense, because why else would He have come and done what He did if He didn't have high expectations about us? Why would He lay down His life for you and I unless He was absolutely in awe of us? Now, we are the work of His hands, and I think God's impressed. I think he's impressed with the works of His hands. He did a good job. He made you. Hallelujah. And here you are. In the midst of terrible spiritual darkness. I mean, this earth is so full of darkness and corruption. And the mindsets of the people of the world that we're around all the time is completely contrary to God's way of thinking, God's way of doing things. And yet here we are in the middle of all this darkness, worshiping a God we cannot see. Yet we know that we know that we know how real and how awesome and how wonderful He is. We've only seen with our heart. We haven't even seen with our eyes yet. And here we are just living by faith, and yet we love Him. And the devil can't talk us out of it. The devil can't talk us out of it. We are committed all the way to the end. We're going to follow Him all the way to the end, because we know He has the words of eternal life. We know He's the way, the truth, and the life. And there's nothing better than knowing Him. There's nothing better than being in His presence. There's nothing better than knowing you're right smack dab in the middle of the perfect will of God for your life. That you're not just out here guessing at life, doing your own thing, but you know that you're doing His thing. And you're right in the middle of what God's called you to do and what He's called you to be in life. I mean, it's thrilling. It's an exciting place to be. Praise God. What an awesome, amazing thing that you and I have in Him. And I believe it. I believe God is in awe of us. You know, so much of the world, you know, talking about mindsets, so much of the world, you know, they look at these hurricanes that we're experiencing right now. The flooding in Texas and now Florida and other hurricanes, and people look, and they actually, insurance companies call these acts of God. They call them acts of God. And most people believe that these are acts of God. But thank God for His word and for the truth of His word. We understand that these are not acts of God. God is not in the flooding business. We know who's in the flooding business. It's the devil. Devils, demons, they're in the flooding business. In fact, Revelation chapter 12 describes Satan as a dragon, and he spews this flood out of his mouth. Actually calls it a flood. And then over in Isaiah, the 59th chapter, verse 19, it says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy comes in like a flood." Who comes in like a flood? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You see, we have an enemy. There's an enemy of mankind in this world. And it is the devil. But he's not just the enemy of mankind. He's God's enemy. An enemy of yours is an enemy of God. Because God loves you and he has set his heart on you. That's why he came in the form of a man in the person of Jesus Christ and became our sin so that we can be his righteousness. He suffered and was tortured terribly so that you and I could be saved, so that you and I can be delivered from eternal damnation. I'm so glad I've got eternal life. I got my hands on it. Hallelujah. Not going to turn it loose. Thank God for eternal life through Jesus Christ. God has given that because he loves us. John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's everlasting life is that unceasing, absolute fullness of life. And he wants that to start now. Everlasting life isn't just something that happens when you leave this life. Through Jesus, it's something we're to be experiencing in this life. We're to be experiencing unceasing, absolute fullness of life now. And as our faith grows, we're to experience more and more and more of it so that when we get to heaven, it isn't a complete culture shock. I mean, if you're not experiencing any of that abundant life now, you know, and you don't have a clue of what that all is, what that is all like, and then all of a sudden you pass from this life, step out of your body and step over there, I mean, it's going to take a while in heaven for you to be, you know, to be revived. You know, you're going to have to recover from the culture shock. But God's conditioning us now. I said, God's conditioning us now. He's preparing us. He's preparing us for heaven. He's preparing us to be kingdom rulers throughout all eternity, to rule and reign with him forever. But it all starts now. We start experiencing this life now. We start experiencing ruling and reigning in life now. And how do we rule and reign in life? We take the name of Jesus and we apply it to the enemy. We apply it to our situation, our circumstances in life. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, we lift up the word of God. We lift up a standard against him. We speak God's word in the name of Jesus. And oh, there's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, before I knew Jesus, Jesus' name was just a curse word. Jesus this, Jesus that. People would just say that. I'd joke around using the name of Jesus. You didn't take it serious. It wasn't real. You didn't understand the power that was in that name. But when you come into that understanding, you learn that demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Demons are terrified at the name of Jesus because it was Jesus who came as a man and whipped the devil, completely defeated him when he came here to this world. Jesus whipped him, trampled on him, and took the keys or the authority of death, hell, and the grave from him. The devil, he had the power of death over mankind, but he don't have it anymore. Jesus stripped him of it. And those that understand that now use his name against every form of death. Every form of death. Sickness is a form of death at work in a person's body. Devastation, destruction, it's death working in the earth. Things are dying. Things are being destroyed. This is all the work of Satan. This is not the work of God. And I got more good news for you. God is not in partnership with the devil. God did not hire the devil to go out and punish people that aren't pleasing to him. I mean, people charge God of these things. They accuse him of these things. They think God's guilty for a lot of things. Well, you know, God didn't do it, but he allowed it. You know, in other words, he just went ahead and told the devil, I can't do it because I'm good, but you take care of it for me. Now, could you imagine? Can you imagine if I hired the mafia to take care of my son to help discipline him? Now, think about that, right? I'm a good dad. I would never do anything wrong to my son, but I'd hire the mafia. And I let them come in, and they work them over the coals, you know. I say, son, what happened? Oh, it was terrible, Dad. What happened? Gee, it's too bad. Sorry, come on in. Did you learn anything from it? I hope you learned a lesson. Friend, that would be a wicked God. I got news for you. That'd be a wicked God. God is not wicked. He's not in partnership with the wicked one. He's not in partnership with the devil. That's not what the Bible teaches. See, people guess at things. People make up a lot of stuff about God, which is completely disrespectful. Totally disrespectful, and not being serious about him. When you're serious about God, you don't guess. You don't just make up stuff. He's too holy and awesome for that. You go find out if it's true or not. And thank God he has given us his word so that we can find out. He has given us his holy supernatural scriptures for us to be able to dig in there and find out what he's really like and what he's all about. And friend, he came, and the Bible says in the book of Colossians that he disarmed principalities and powers. All the rulers of the darkness, he disarmed them and defeated them and transferred all his authority that he took from the devil to the church, to those that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, make him the Lord of their life. He has given us the keys. He's given us the authority. And so now we can take charge of things. We don't have to sit back and be victims in life. We don't have to sit back and just let the devil come in and wreak havoc in our life. We can rise up with the name of Jesus, speak the word of God, and say, no, devil, thus far, no more. You have come far enough. Now, in the name of Jesus, I command you to cease and desist in your maneuvers and operations against me, to back off right now in Jesus' name. And you know, the devil has to listen. I mean, we see this, you know, we see this through the scriptures, the New Testament, especially even with Jesus. Jesus here, the Bible says he was tempted at all points. The devil came and tempted Jesus, tempted him to jump off cliffs, commit suicide, tempted him to, you know, prove himself to be something great, exalt himself above the will of God. But Jesus didn't do it. He resisted the devil, and what did he do? He spoke the word of God. What did he have? He had the Old Testament at that time, and he spoke those words from the Old Testament to the devil, and the devil couldn't do anything to him. He kept putting the devil back in his place. And it's a lesson for you and I. How do we deal with temptation? What do we do when the enemy comes in like a flood into our life? What happens when he comes and presents all kinds of ungodliness to us? What do we do? We just cave to it? No. Thank God we don't have to. We can resist him. We can resist. And here's the thing. We're not resisting him in our own strength. This is where a lot of folks have missed it. They're still, Christians I'm talking about, they're trying to overcome sin, trying to overcome temptation, trying to overcome the devil in their own strength. Friend, you can't do it. You can't do it. You know, you'll think you got the victory in an area over something, and all of a sudden something will pop up over here that's even worse, and you fall to that. You finally, you know, you feel good about yourself. You did some good things. The next thing you know, man, you have a real bad fall over here into something really bad. Because we can't do it in our own strength, but in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's what the name of Jesus does. It unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be able to overcome the devil, overcome the enemy. That's why he says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Well, how does the Lord do that? He does that through you. See, God is a lot of things he does not do independently of his church or his body. We are the body of Christ. There's not too many things you do independent of your body. I'm going to go to church today. And then you stay in bed. How's that possible? Can you go to church and stay in bed? No, you can't. You can't go to church and stay in bed at the same time. And you can't lie on the bed. Somebody walks up and says, "What are you doing?" I said, I'm at church. Why? I'm at church. And you're sitting on the bed with your eyes closed. I'm at church. I just believe I'm at church right now. No, you're going to have to get your body up. You're going to have to get your body up and shake the thing off and get the thing to church. If you want to go to church, your body's going to have to go with you. All right? Same thing with God. God, he calls us the body of Christ. We are his body in the earth. And he needs to get us up. He needs us to rise up. He needs us to wake up and yield to him, cooperate with him. And if we'll cooperate with him, then he can do wonderful things through us. One of the things he can do is stop the devil in his tracks. But see, a lot of folks sit back and say, "Well, I don't know, is this the will of God or not? Maybe it's God. Maybe it's God. God wanted to punish America. Maybe God wants to just beat everybody up. Maybe. There's no faith in maybe. You can't get anything done doubting. You can't get anything done being uncertain and unsure. You got to know the will of God. I said, you got to know the will of God. And you got to know, is this of God or is it not? Is it the work of God or is it the work of the devil? Is God in partnership with the devil or is God completely contrary to what's going on here? See, we have to come to understand those things. We have to know those things. And thank God, we know. God does not come in like a flood. He wants a standard to be lifted up. He wants to stop the destruction. I said he wants to stop the destruction. And you might not be able to stop the destruction in everybody else's life. But number one, you can stop the destruction in your sphere of influence and authority. You can stop the destruction in your life. And it's amazing how the enemy will come in like a flood. Destructive things will happen. And yet people that understood their authority and took their place in the Word of God, in God's plan for their life, it's amazing how all this destruction could go on and they come out of it untouched. Or they end up coming out of it better before any of it ever happened. They come out better than before. Before the destruction, the calamity came. It's amazing. And that's God's will for you and I. Though we go through the fire, we're not going to burn up. Though there's a flood that comes in, it does not overtake us. And if we'll rise up as the body of Christ, the more of us that rise up, the more people we can rescue and help. And God wants his church to awaken in America to help the whole nation. He wants to help the entire nation. But if you got the church just being in awe of what the devil's doing, and they're just staring at what the devil's doing and saying, "Oh, isn't this terrible? Oh, I hope it's not that bad." And they pray a praise like, "Oh, God, if it be thy will." If, I don't know if it's your will or not. You might want everybody to drown. I don't know. If it be thy will, deliver these people. Prayers like that don't even need to be prayed. They're accomplishing nothing. There's a lot of people making a lot of noise and calling it prayer. It's not getting anything done. God needs his church to know him. To know him according to the word. He needs his church to understand the authority that he has given them. So you got to understand something. God can't do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it like people teach. There's probably someone right now that's feeling like what I just said is blasphemy. Of course God can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. He's sovereign. He's God. Okay? Then why didn't he just go ahead and forgive everybody rather than put on flesh and blood and be tortured and nailed to a cross? If he could just do anything he wants to do and just forgive everybody, why didn't God just wave his hand and say, "I'm God, be forgiven"? He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it legally. He couldn't do it righteously. He couldn't do it justly. He had to legally pay for your forgiveness. He had to pay for it. So he had to become what you were and then take your punishment and your judgment upon himself so that you could be released and say, hey, my sins have been paid for. My sins have been paid for. God paid for my sins through Jesus Christ. I'm a righteous person, man. I'm clean. It's as if I have no sin whatsoever. Jesus washed me clean. He took the whole thing, all the judgment for it, the penalty for it. He took it all. He has to do things legally, friends. God doesn't just do whatever he wants to do in the earth. He has to do things legally. And the devil is always seeking place in our life. And he will break into your house and he will rip you off if you don't know it's illegal for him to do it. People are getting ripped off by the devil, and then it's like a thief breaking into your house, and they're not even calling the police. They're not even calling the police. They're sitting back and going, why is God doing this? Why is God taking all my stuff? Why isn't God fixing this? Why is God letting this happen? And the real question is, why are you sitting there in complete ignorance, not doing something about this? Why aren't you rising up and lifting up God's word and the name of Jesus and dealing with this issue? Why aren't you rising up in faith and saying, no, devil, what you stole, you have to restore sevenfold. It is written in the word of God. Hallelujah. You're restoring that sevenfold to me. And in total faith, total confidence, believing God that what the devil meant for evil against you is now turning out for your good. Now, people get that twisted. Well, God sent this terrible thing because he had good things in mind. No. Well, this great thing came out of this terrible situation. That doesn't mean God sent the terrible situation. It just means God's good and God's merciful. And if he can get some faith out of you, if he can get you to turn to him, praise God, he will turn what the devil did to you, which was not his will. He'll turn it around for your good. Folks don't have to learn things the hard way. I let other people do that for me. And I learn from them. Amen. I do, man. I look in the Word of God, Old Testament. I see all these examples of all these things. Stupid things. Different ones did, you know. And then what happened? I say, oh, they did that, and that's what happened? I ain't doing that. I see people in the church do stupid things. I see the outcome of it, see what happens to them. I say, they did that, and that's what happened. I ain't doing that. I'll just let people learn the hard way for me. I think that's wisdom, don't you think? Now, let's find out what the Word says about it, and we can make our lives a whole lot easier. And we can have a whole lot more fun. We can have a whole lot more fun in life, friend, believe me. We can have a whole lot more fun. Because we don't have to sit here being kicked around and wandering through life, not knowing what's the will of God, what's not the will of God. Should I be doing this? Should I be doing this? Well, maybe God wants this to happen. Maybe God wants me sick today. You know, God, I got sick today because I think God didn't want me to go to church. Man, you believe like that, the devil's going to make you sick all the time. Okay, they're going to say, hey, we got a dummy over here. Get him sick. He won't go to church. I get a headache every time I go to that church. I think God doesn't want me to go to that church. The devil's going to take a sledgehammer every week to you to keep you out of this church if you believe that. You got to recognize this is the devil. God don't send headaches. God don't send car wrecks. God don't send hurricanes. God's not in the disaster and destruction business. He don't teach us through these things. Though we can learn lessons through them, that's learning the hard way. You have to be hard-headed and dumb. Huh? Hard-headed and dumb. I'm going to learn ahead of the storm. Why do we always have to learn in the middle of the storm? Why can't we learn ahead of the storm about what to do so that we can just go ahead and prevent the storm altogether? I mean, I've had times where all of a sudden I feel something just kind of out of nowhere. Just you feel a little something there in the throat. I don't even take any chances. You know, I don't wait and ignore it, go to bed, wake up in the middle of the night, my throat on fire, burning with a sore throat. No, I just feel a little something. My dad go, get out in Jesus' name. I mean, I stop it immediately. I know we got an enemy. I know there's a devil loose. And he seeks to kill, steal, and steal, kill, and destroy. And you gotta understand that and understand these things are not of God, and God's expecting you to stand up and resist the devil and use his word, use the name of Jesus over the devil. And we have a great respect, a great fear of the name of the Lord. I love what it says here again, Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord. Fear the name of the Lord. Again, it's not just this casual thing. It's just not a name that we toss around. Oh, we understand the power of this name. We have a great, great respect and awe for the name of Jesus. You know, my whole life, people throw the name of Jesus around. Never bothered me at all. I got in on it half the time. But after I got saved and came into a real revelation, a real understanding of the name that saved me, delivered me, and my eyes had become open to things. Pat, you'd hear somebody in a restaurant say his name irreverently as a curse word. Oh, I just go right through you. Right? I'm putting on time. Ooh, see? What? Fear. It's almost like fear. It's like a terror just kind of grips you. Oh, don't use his name like that. Scary to use his name like that. Because you understand the power of that name. And that's what that word fear there is talking about. There's a terror. A terror. Being scared to use that name irreverently, disrespectfully. Because we understand the power. Well, you see, because we understand when you're using the name disrespectfully, you're on the wrong side of it. You're on the devil's side. And that name is not good to the devil. That name casts devils out. I mean, this is one of the first things Jesus told us, the main things that Jesus told his disciples after he rose from the dead. He gave them a great commission. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes will be saved. He who does not believe will be damned. Then he said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. So he said, that's all part of the Great Commission. So much of the church walks around and go, the Great Commission is going to all the world and preach the gospel, comma. That's not all of it. Go to Mark 16, the last chapter. That's not all of it. He didn't stop there and say, go into all the world and preach the gospel, period. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, tell people the good news, and in my name, cast out devils. Cast out the demons. Don't just go in there and give them some kind of therapeutic gospel. Just go in there and give them some knowledge of how they can live their life better. And there's hope in Jesus. And if you'll, you know, just trust in him and just go in there and have a pep talk. He said, you go in there, preach my gospel, and do business against the enemy of mankind's soul. Cast him out. Drive out the demons. Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It's part of the Great Commission. Lay hands on the sick, and they what? They will recover. They will recover. Now, of course, that's after you preach the gospel. So you preach the gospel, and what happens? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so when they hear and believe the gospel of the kingdom, which talks about the authority that Jesus gained for us over Satan when he defeated him 2,000 years ago, when they hear that and believe in that authority, then you can use that authority in their life to help deliver them from demons, to help drive sickness out of their life. And he said, believers will do it. Believe, are you, is there any believers in here? You got hands? Any believers with a hand or two? Praise God. This is for you. You got this authority. How much more? If you can cast the devil out of other people's lives, if you can lay hands on the sick and they get healed, how much more Can you take care of yourself? See, we got to get the doubt out. We got to understand. So instead of waiting around for God to do something and understanding he's already done it, he's already done it. He's already taken care of your problems. He's already defeated the devil. Now rise up in his name. Rise up in his name and deal with the devil. Hallelujah. We put up with way too much. I said, we got to stop putting up with so much. Praise God. Church needs to come together and in faith go before God concerning these kind of storms. You know, somebody showed me a video that was posted on social media, and there was a lot of people, and they were standing on the beach, and they were reaching their hands out towards the direction of the storm down there in Florida, and they were praying and things like that. And, you know, it's beautiful to see that. But you can't help but wonder, how are they praying? How are they praying? Do they really know their authority? Do they really believe that when they speak, something has to happen? Or is it they're hoping something happens? If enough of us get together, maybe something will happen. The answer is no. Because he says over in the book of James, if you don't ask in faith, but full of doubt, he says, don't think you'll receive anything from the Lord. Not that he won't give it. He's already given it. You won't be able to receive it. You've got to believe. You've got to be in faith. You've got to know the will of God concerning this situation. And of course, as America, has the world opened the door and allowed the devil to come in and wreak havoc? Have they given him permission through perverse living? Dark living? Living in partnership with Satan's ways of doing things? Have they? Sure, the Bible says, if you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. That's what the Bible says. Why these whirlwinds do you sow to the wind? What does that mean? You sow vanity. You sow ungodliness. You just sow fleshiness. You sow fleshiness. He says, this is what happens. You reap destruction. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. So we understand that. So to sit back and say, well, maybe America deserves it. Well, of course they deserve it. America and the rest of the world deserves to go to hell in a handbasket. Come on. We know that. But we can intercede. Come on, we can intercede. Get in there and believe God for his angels. Believe God for his mercy. We can go before God like Abraham did and stand before the Lord and plead on behalf of the people that he would not destroy the righteous with the wicked, and believe God for the land to be healed and that God would have mercy and he'd extend his mercy towards the people. And we can go in there and we can plead with the Lord and we can walk out of prayer knowing that we received what we asked for. And once you know you got it in your own life, then praise God, you can intercede for other people. That's what God wants from his church. He wants a church that rises up in the strength of his spirit, fearing his name and taking their authority, taking their place, and not allowing the devil to just run across. Even when it comes to salvation, people getting saved. So many times you got to take authority over the demons before you can even really help people come into the saving knowledge of Jesus. Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes you have to go in there and say, now, devil, you spirits of darkness, blinding the eyes of these people to Jesus. Why are so many people against Jesus, don't believe in Jesus, don't know anything about Jesus? Why is that when he's so good and so awesome and to us so obvious? Why is that? Because of spiritual darkness, blinding demons, demons that have blinded the minds of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 5:5. They have blinded the eyes of unbelievers so that they can't see. They can't see the light of the gospel. Sometimes before you share the good news, you got to go in there and take authority over the devils. Say, now, devils of darkness, I command you to cease and desist in your maneuvers and operations in Charlie's life. I command you to stop now. Remove your blindness from him right now. And Father, I thank you for angels coming and helping Charlie to see the light of the gospel. Thank you, Lord. And then go in there and share the good news. Don't just leave it all up to angels. And leave it all, well, if God wants them saved, he'll get them saved. Well, if God wants them healed, he'll get them healed. Well, if God wants this, he'll get it done. God can do whatever he wants, whatever he wants. No, he needs you. to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He needs you to lay your hands on the sick. He needs your voice. He needs you to speak up and drive the demons out. And we need to do those things. And when we do those things, man, it gives people a greater opportunity to see our awesome God. See how awesome and wonderful he is. And he'll become so obvious to them as he's become to us. And they'll gladly receive the good news. Because our gospel is good news. God's word is good news. Can you say amen? Oh, don't you love God's word? Don't you love the name of Jesus? Whoo, hallelujah. Somebody shout, there's power in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to use it. It'd be a sad thing to be walking around. You know, you got a weapon fully loaded and you're just standing there and there's a bank robbery going on and you're standing there with your checkbook in your hand going, you know, you even have a badge, you know. You've been licensed. You're an officer of the law. Wouldn't that be great? You're in the middle of a bank robbery. You look over and there's a police officer standing there. Wow, this is terrible. This is terrible. What's happening here is just terrible. Stop. Stop. This is terrible. You think, what kind of police officer is that? Right? I don't deserve to be a police officer. Somebody ought to take his authority from him. That's where a lot of the church is. Oh, they got this sword of the Spirit. You know, that's Old Testament. You know, that was written. They didn't have guns back then. If that was written today, they would say, you have the gun of the Spirit. I got me an AK-47 strapped to my back. Spiritual. I got a spiritual AK-47. You do too. I said, you do too. It's the word of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. And we need to take the AK-47 of the Spirit and say, hey, devil, you don't think you're just going to walk out of here, do you? We don't just cast him out. You got to make him pay. You got to make him pay sevenfold, and then he goes. Or you cast him out and say, now, come back here. Bring all the stuff back and sevenfold. Get back in here. I mean, we got to have an attitude about us, folks. We got such power and authority in the name of Jesus. Let's not get ripped off anymore. Devil running around wreaking havoc in our life. We're standing going, why? When we could go, this changes today. This is changing right now. And you know what? You might not see the change physically with your physical eyes right away, but you believe you receive when you pray. You believe you receive when you speak the name of Jesus. You believe you receive it. You know it's so. Hallelujah. Job well done. And you know these things that I see still around here in the natural, they'll all change. Because the real problems we have in life are first spiritual. Just like blessings that we receive, it all starts in the spirit first. Makes its way into the seen realm. It all starts in the unseen realm first, and we understand that. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah! Come on, stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.